We'll be continuing in our series in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. It's on page 1094, or thereabouts, if you were to follow it. And it would be helpful if you had that passage open. Let's pray to the Lord together. So, Father, as we stand before you in the presence of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you open our eyes, that you open our hearts to receive from your word now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Cuthbert was a man who was in the habit of going to church. After all, he was English, and he was also middle class. And for his age group, well, that was the thing to do. However, he had never really paid attention to what it was all about. Ever since he was a boy, he was in the habit of daydreaming or even having a snooze during the sermon. However, he enjoyed being with the Christians at the local church, St. Pretty Church on the Hill. One day, a younger man popped into church and sat next to him. He seemed a pleasant sort of chap, but weighed down with some kind of burden. He introduced himself as Nigel, and he just felt drawn to church that morning. He just had to come. Something was compelling him to be there. However, he was a bit unfamiliar with it all. He wasn't too sure of all the ceremonial stuff. Could Cuthbert help him out? Of course I can, said Cuthbert, being a helpful sort of chap. As the first hymn came to a close, Nigel asked Cuthbert, what's going to happen now? This is when we confess our sins, said Cuthbert. Confess our sins? What's that? Asked Nigel. Good question. Something to do with saying sorry to God, I think, said Cuthbert. Nigel replied, oh, you know what? I think that is why I have been drawn here today. I've done many wrong things in my life, and it's really getting to me. I think I need to sort it all out with God. Just as he finished saying that, the vicar announced the following. We come now to our time of confession before Almighty God. Let's pause and reflect on the ways we have failed to love God and our neighbour. At this point, Nigel started to cry silently, and this made Cuthbert feel very uncomfortable indeed. Stiff upper lip, old chap, he whispered to him. The reading that morning was Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 47. At the start of the sermon, the vicar said, please open your Bibles to page 1094. Nigel reached for a Bible and gave one to Cuthbert. Cuthbert didn't normally open up a Bible in church. After all, the sermon was his snooze time. But Nigel seemed, well, eager to give him a Bible, so Cuthbert did the British thing. He went along with it. The vicar drew everybody's attention to verse 36, the last sentence of Peter's famous Pentecost sermon. Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And the vicar continued by saying, there is a problem we all face. A problem we all face. The point is that it wasn't just the people back then who were responsible for crucifying our Lord. Each one of us too has crucified him. Each one of us has sinned. And it is our sin, our wrongdoing, our rejection of God's rule in our lives that has driven the nails into Jesus' hands and feet. Nigel whispered to Cuthbert, I told you so, that's me. That's what I have done. I have done bad things. I am guilty of crucifying Jesus. Cuthbert started to feel discomfort. For the first time, he realised that he too was guilty. He too had done many wrong things in his life. At the time they hadn't seemed like much, but now he realised they were. Sometimes he did them in ignorance, sometimes he did them willingly. And then he remembered something the vicar had said that lay at the heart of sin, S-I-N. S, so long God, I'm in charge, N, not you. Oh my goodness, that's me too, Cuthbert responded to Nigel. It never really made sense before, but it does now. By this time, the vicar was on to verse 37, explaining how people, on hearing how they had rejected Jesus as Lord and Christ, were cut to the heart. The vicar continued, "You see, there is a problem we all face. I know we can try to sweep it under the carpet, but it won't work. We are all guilty of saying, 'So long, God, I'm in charge, not you.' We have all done wrong things." Take a look at verse 40, he continued. Peter pleads with the crowd, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And that doesn't just apply to the people back then. We all need saving. Because our generation, just like that generation, just like every generation, is corrupt. We have all turned away from God. There is a problem. And the problem is that you and I will have to give an account of our lives before God, before the Lord whom we have crucified. Well, by now, even Cuthbert was ready to cry. All those years of going to church, and it had never really occurred to him. He was in the wrong before God. Being middle class wasn't going to save him. Being British wasn't going to save him. Even going to church regularly was not going to save him. So Cuthbert and Nigel looked at each other. "What shall we do?" they said, echoing the response of verse 37. They were cut to the heart. The preacher continued, "There is a problem we all face, but there is a solution too. And we can see that solution in verse 38. Take a look at it." Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." At this point, the vicar held up a whiteboard, full of words like selfishness, greed, gossip, hatred, violence, our rejection of God. And he said, "This is us. But when we turn to Jesus, he takes these away from us and pays the price for them as he dies on the cross." That's the power of the cross. And he will wipe the slate clean. He will wipe the slate clean, just as if you have never sinned. It can all be forgiven if you humbly turn to Christ in faith. He will save you from this corrupt world. More than that, he will save you from your corrupt self. Friends, please, if you have not yet done so, pray to God asking for the forgiveness of sins and trust in him to answer that prayer, because he will. Commit yourselves to his love and mercy. After the sermon, there was a time of Holy Communion. This turned out to be an act focusing once again on how Jesus is the one who takes away the sin of the world. Nigel started to realise just how much of Christianity focused on the death of Jesus that brings about the forgiveness of sins. After the service, Nigel said to Cuthbert, "Do you know, I never realised before that Christianity was such good news. Can I pray with somebody? I want help in asking Jesus to forgive me." Well, Cuthbert felt like a fish out of water. He had never thought before that he might be guilty before God, even sharing the responsibility of crucifying Jesus. "I think there are some people over there in the chapel who are willing to pray with people after a communion service. Shall we go over?" Over in the chapel, they met two nice people who prayed with them. Both Cuthbert and Nigel asked Jesus to forgive them. The people in the chapel assured them that God is faithful and would send the Holy Spirit to enable them to walk a new life with Jesus. The next Sunday, Cuthbert awoke with a great sense of excitement. He was going to church, but now it wasn't out of any old habit. It was out of the desire to be with other Christians, to be with Jesus, and to learn more about what it means to be a Christian. He met his new friend Nigel outside the church gate, and together the two friends walked in. This week, the vicar started by focusing on the second part of verse 38 and then verse 39. "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." The vicar began, "Last week we saw that there's a problem we all need to recognise. We are alienated from God because of our sin. But we also saw the solution in how the death of Jesus brings about a full pardon and the forgiveness of sins to all who will repent. But that is not all. Today we see how there is an outpouring of God's grace. God gives to those who turn to him a very special gift, his Holy Spirit to be in our lives. The real presence, the very presence of God, comes to live in our lives when we turn to him. And through his Spirit, God starts to change us for the better. Now note also how this promise of forgiveness and the Holy Spirit isn't just for some people, but for everybody who responds to God's call. There is no better thing than to know the forgiveness of God and to receive the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in our lives. "Do you know what?" Cuthbert said to Nigel afterwards. "I have come to church for many years, but only during the last week have I felt God to be with me by his Spirit. I mean, really with me. Last week, after we asked Jesus to forgive us and to come into our lives, I have felt more at peace with God than ever before." "Me too," said Nigel. "That must be the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I'm really excited to find out more. Let's see what we find out next week." Eventually, the next Sunday came round. Once more, Cuthbert met Nigel outside the church and they went in together. "I wonder what we'll be looking at today," said Nigel. "Probably the next part in Acts," Cuthbert replied. And sure enough, the reading that morning was Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The vicar explained how in verse 42, the early church, full of 3,000 new believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. "Today," he said, "we see how these new believers respond by living out transformed lives together." Transformed lives. And the key word here is devoted, he said. Devoted. Devotion shows commitment. Devotion means sacrifice. In these verses, the early church sets us a great example to follow. Look at the wholehearted commitment of these first Christians to live out transformed lives with one another. Firstly, they're devoted to the apostles' teaching. They spend time, energy, and brain power reflecting on the teaching of the apostles. The teaching that God made sure would be recorded for us in the Bible. So we have that same teaching here in this special book. They are devoted to the apostles' teaching. Next, they are devoted themselves to the community of believers, that is, the church. The word church in the Bible does not refer to a pretty historic building, but to the community of believers. And so in verses 44 to 46, these new Christians spend time with each other, supporting one another, financially and practically. They eat meals together, they become a loving community. Then they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread together. That is, they ate meals together in fellowship, and they also shared the Lord's Supper with one another. Next up, they devoted themselves to pray. They prayed together for each other, for the needs of the wider community, and for more people to become Christians. And look at the results in verse 47. They praised God and enjoyed the favour of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What a wonderful vision of what church can be like, a loving community, sharing and supporting one another, praising God, praying and learning together from the Bible. Nigel and Cuthbert both agreed they needed to become more integrated into the life of St. Pretty Church on the Hill. They spoke to the vicar afterwards, who suggested two things. Firstly, he encouraged them to join a home group, That is where you can support one another in fellowship, prayer and Bible study, he said. Secondly, he encouraged them to think about how they could perform acts of service as part of the church community. As a result, the friends did that. They, first of all, joined a home group together. Cuthbert then joined the cleaning rota and the prayer chain. Nigel was a working man. He had less time, but he committed himself to giving 10% of his income. And one evening a month, they both joined street pastors in the nearby town. Today we've heard the story of two very different men. One a long-term churchgoer, one a newcomer. But both experience a wonderful change in their lives by encountering the risen Christ. Both are cut to the heart by their sin and their part in crucifying Jesus. But then both are full of joy at receiving salvation, the forgiveness of sins. And finally, both are transformed by the Holy Spirit to become radical disciples of Jesus Christ, as seen in their new service, their generosity, and their commitment to pray and study the Bible. And friends, that is what it means to be a Christian in practice. And that is what it means to be church in practice. Let's pause for a moment. Ask the Holy Spirit to continue speaking to us, and then I'll pray. Father, may we become more like that first church community. Please increase in us our faith. Please increase in us our desire to reach out with the good news of Jesus Christ, that message of life, to our community. And please help us to really get involved here in serving one another as general dog's bodies for the sake of Christ. And in his name we pray this. Amen.